Well, it's good to be here and good to get to be see this church and get a little experience here. I was here, probably 25 years ago when Brother Modlish had it. And
I don't even think that building was here when he had it. It was a pole barn or something. But good to see my friend Sherry Lapatosky, and an old friend I hadn't seen in a long time. Good to see her. And I get to see Norman, so it's been a real blessing. And I get to find a place that has air that you can't see. I don't know how you guys do it. You breathe stuff you can't see, but it's nice, nice. It's a beautiful state, and all the trees are so pretty, and I really enjoy being here. It's a nice, fresh getaway, if you will. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy. Heard a joke, preacher said it. I was watching some preacher, from way back, was black and white when I was watching. He said there was a guy driving down the road on a little blue VW, and he was following this big truck, and this truck had a bunch of pigs in the back of it. And they're going down the road, and one of the pigs fell out. And he thought, oh, no. So he pulls over, and he picks up the pig, and the pig's okay. And he puts the pig in the passenger seat. And he starts to catch up to that truck. The truck's way up there, so he's really getting on it to go fast and catch up with that truck. And a cop saw him speeding and pulled him over. And so he pulls him over and he says, man, what are you doing? You're going so fast. He says, well, this pig fell out of the truck. I'm trying to give it back. And cop looks at him and says, yeah, I see that. But I can't have you just go racing down the road after that truck. That's I can't let you do that. He says, well, what am I supposed to do with the pig? And he says, well, take him to the zoo. And so the guy looks at the pig and says, well, I suppose I could do that. I suppose I could take him to the zoo. And so the next day, he's going down that road, and he still has that pig, and that cop sees him going down the road, and he says, that's that same blue VW, that guy with that pig. And he pulls him over again, and he says, you still have that pig? What are you doing with that pig? I thought I told you yesterday to take that pig to the zoo. And he says, well, you did, and I did take him to the zoo. And we had such a great time, I thought today I'd take him to the beach. You're supposed to leave them there, stupid. Take them to the beach. Anyway, is that funny? I know if you laugh, it's funny. Amen. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy, and we'll pray. And I just thank you. Doesn't seem to be enough for all the kindness that I've already received and just treated really well. Don't feel worthy of it, but sure is nice to have it. And appreciate your preacher. Been good fellowship already. Get to know them a little bit, and good to see you folks. And it's almost like I'm in my church. It's like that everywhere you go. You go to a Bible-believing churches, and you just fit right in. And it's very comfortable, and I really enjoy that. Amen. All right, well, let's see if we can find 2 Timothy. And we'll look at chapter 1. And now that you're there, we'll pray. Look at this watch here. All right. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you for these people who have an interest in what you say in this book. Thank you, God, that you give us your spirit to help us understand. Help us to know the things freely given to us of God. Thank you for the message we got to hear about your power and your strength, Lord, and how not only can you shake things, but how you establish things that are eternal. And it was a blessing to hear it, Lord. And I thank you for the preaching we got. And I pray, God, you take the message now and help these truths to sink into our hearts. And I pray the instruction you give us, that we desire such things and make an honest attempt to line up with them and use them and make them part of our Christian walk. Lord, and I thank you for it. And I pray you bless the message now in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember years ago, I was working at a place called Hitco, and it was a big warehouse, and I was working in the warehouse, and I brought material to the cutting room, and the ladies in the cutting room would cut it up in the patterns that they were given and sew all that stuff together and make parts out of it. And I remember one time I was reading my Bible. I was a brand new Christian at the time. I was reading my Bible, and I saw a verse in there, and it said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I kind of thought about it for a while. I thought, a soft answer, okay, so you speak softly, and it turns away someone's anger. turns away wrath. I thought, well, that's interesting. And it was a short verse. Preacher said I should memorize verses, so I tried to put it to memory, and I thought about it all day. And so once I got to work, kind of forgot about it, you know, and I got working. And this woman in the cutting room, she calls me up and she says, Andres, bring me this box of material. She gave the number for the material, and I went and I got it, and I brought it to her on a forklift and dropped it off in the cutting room for all the ladies there to cut it up. And boy, about an hour later, she calls me up, and she is mad as she can be. And her name was Millie Seaball, just a little old red-headed, little spitfire gal about this tall. And she calls me in there, and she stands right up in my face and says, you brought me the wrong material, and I cut it up. And it was expensive, and now it's the wrong material with the wrong parts, and it's going to cost the company a lot of money, and it's your mistake, and I'm going to get caught. And boy, she's shaking her finger, and she's standing this close to me, she's looking up at me, she's shaking her finger, and she's just mad as she can be. And I'm thinking, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And normally, as a lost man, I'd say, get out of my face. You know, you know how lost people do. And I looked at her, and I said, Millie, I'm so sorry. That was my mistake. I made a bad mistake here, and I'll call John, and I'll tell him it was my fault that did it. You know what she did? She started crying. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I yelled at you. Please forgive me. I know you didn't mean to. And boy, I thought, man, that Bible really works. Amen. It does work. It does work. But there's a fleshly side of you that doesn't want it to work. It wants to glorify itself. It wants, let's say, for instance, if your spiritual man down inside wanted to shout and praise the Lord, your fleshy man wouldn't like it. He would shrink at that. He would not want you to do that. He would hold you back. He would keep you from it if he could. He didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want to look like a fool. But your inward man would love to exalt God and forget about whether I'm a fool or not. It's just the right thing to do. So there's a control that you and I need, and it's a spiritual thing. You're told to put away anger. Anger is a spiritual thing. It's not tangible. You can see it well up in a fella and in a woman. You get that anger, and the Bible says to put it away, so you're supposed to control it. You're supposed to be able to stop yourself. When you feel it coming on, you're supposed to start getting control. The Bible says a city without walls is, it says, what's it say about that? Controlling your spirit, a man without control over his own spirit is like a city without walls, something like that, right? And that means that city is vulnerable because it's got no walls. And he says, so are you if you can't control your spirit. Amen. So let's look at 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy real quick and take a look at verse number 1, or chapter 1 and verse number 7. And the Bible says here, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Notice the fear is a spiritual thing. And it's we was talking about trembling a little while ago and talking about shaking. I've been that way. I've been in fear so bad that I've shook. And I remember, was it Nebuchadnezzar that shook? His knees smote one another, I think, when he saw the handwriting on the wall. I've had some things happen in my life, you probably have too, where it's just a very, very fearful thing, and you can shake. We're told to fear God, but we're not told to fear man. So there's two kinds of fear. One's wrong, one's right. But the Bible says here to don't be afraid. You have God-given power, it says there. And so he tells Timothy, don't be afraid. And I would tell you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to witness. Amen. A lot of people are. Yeah. It's a spiritual thing. You're inward, man. God wants it done. Amen. Amen. You know it's right to promote Christ, to speak of him, to put him in a good light, to use a word or two that makes him look good, make someone think about that he's good, somebody to consider. That would all be good. But you got a fleshy man too. And he don't like going out publicly. I remember one time I was in Bible school and I worked drywall in those days, trying to earn enough to make pay my school bill. And Renee Meyer was my friend, and we go to a lunch. We get out of work and we go to the grocery store, and he'd be about four people in front of me. I'd be back in the line a little bit, and he turned around and he said, "Hey, Steve." I said, "Yeah." He's saying it loud, and I'm thinking, "Man, it's embarrassing, you know." "Hey, Steve." I said, "Yeah, what?" He says, "I heard you got saved." I said, "Yeah." He says, "What happened?" Now he's putting me on the spot. Amen. Put me on the spot. So I man up. I said, "Well, I got saved when a read the Bible, and heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Convicted me about my sin and told me I needed to believe the gospel and trust Jesus Christ, and I got saved. And he said, man, that's good to hear, brother. And I thought, he did all that, you know, just to get a public witness, get everybody to hear somebody's testimony. Now, if he hadn't have done that, I'd have never done it. There's a fleshy side of us that doesn't want to do that. But boy, there's a spirit about us that you can, if you control it, you'd be surprised what you can make, how good you can make Jesus Christ look. Amen. If you can just do that. Don't be afraid to witness. Amen. Don't be afraid of persecution.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of persecution. It's a right thing. It's a good thing. Persecution is a scary thing, but it's a right thing. Paul was talking about, God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul didn't fear persecution because what he was doing was right. And if there was a price to pay for it, then that would be right too. And a lot of people are afraid of persecution. You're afraid of what somebody might say, afraid of what somebody might do. And these days in America, you don't really have to worry too much about persecution. Persecution, the most I ever get is, shut up. keep it in church. I remember one time we were out street preaching and my wife was behind me and she yells at me. She says, look out! And I turned around, there's a guy coming up behind me, and he just kind of, when he saw me, he just turned and went the other way. And I said, what are you telling me to look out for? She said, he hit a hammer in his head. He's gonna hit you with a hammer. And he dropped it on the street right there. And I looked, sure enough, there was a ball-peen hammer laying there. I thought, ooh. But I didn't have to fear persecution. I didn't even see it coming anyway. But had I seen it, I don't think I'd have run. I just made sure he didn't hit me with it. Amen. I'd have blocked it or tried to do something, right? But never let persecution or never let what someone might say stop you from doing what's right.
Amen.
If it's right to glorify the Lord with your body and with your mouth, then do that. Don't be afraid to witness, and don't be afraid of persecution, and don't be afraid of missing out on life. A lot of people are afraid of missing out on life. Say, well, if I go street preaching on Saturday, I won't get that fishing that I've been wanting to do all week. Oh, you're going to miss out on life, are you? You're going to go catch a fish? You're going to miss out on catching that fish? Why don't you go catch a different fish? Why don't you go catch a fish of man? Why don't you go get a soul? It'll show the Lord your fish. Amen. Instead of show your friends how big a fish. You know, there's a lot of people miss out on a lot of good things that they could do for Jesus Christ because they think they're going to miss out on life. You know how people don't get involved in church real good because they're worried about what they're going to miss out on. And he tells Timothy here, he said, don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about missing out on life. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 19. You get Matthew 19 and look at verse 21. You're going to miss out on stuff. I'm going to miss my TV program. Oh, so sorry, you can miss out on something. It's amazing what people throw Jesus Christ over for. Some of the stupidest things. Well, I didn't make it to church. What happened? Well, my daughter had a hangnail. A hangnail? Come on, man. Put a Band-Aid on and go to church. My goodness, brother. People miss out on some of the greatest eternal rewards over some of the stupidest things that they want to do in life. But don't worry about missing out on life. You're not going to miss out on life. You're going to gain life. You use your time and your effort for Jesus Christ, you're going to gain life. And the life you gain is eternal. And the life you traded that for was temporary and only but for a moment. And so don't waste it. Matthew 19 and verse 21. And the Bible says this about wasting your life here. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, if that guy was wanting to go get an 8-point buck, he never would do that. He never would go give to the poor. But if he did go give to the poor, it said there that he'd get eternal life, that something eternal would be his reward. Amen. So never worry about what you're going to miss out on. If the church has got something planned, they got street preaching to happen, they got men's prayer meeting, they got ladies meeting somewhere where somebody's going to instruct, brother, just go to it. Go to it. Control yourself. Don't let your flesh get the upper hand. Let your spiritual man control things. You let your flesh run things, brother, you're just going to waste your life. You're going to burn it up and you're not going to get nothing for it. If your light goes out, rededicate it, relight it, revive it, restart it, reboot it, get it back. Amen. All right, next thing is, don't be ashamed. Notice verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore, this is 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now the Bible says, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be embarrassed. Somebody said, I heard you're a Christian. Be looking for a way to tell them how you got saved. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know what he said one time? He says, if you're ashamed of me in this world, then I'll be ashamed of you in the presence of the angels or something like that. I can't remember how the verse goes. Talked about, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know who he is? He's good. He's great. Nobody loves like him. Nobody's merciful like him. Nobody's powerful like him. Nobody's holy like him. He rose from the dead. He stands alone, brother. You can't compare a man to him. He's perfect in everything. What is there to be ashamed of? You know what makes a person draw back when they get a chance to boast on him or brag on him? It's this old fleshy man you carry around with you. He's just a booger. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Yeah, amen. And there's a good verse for the one we looked at earlier about persecution. Don't be afraid of it. He says, why not? I'm not ashamed of him. Amen. I'm not ashamed of him. I go right out there in the public and yell about it. Amen. Don't be ashamed of public acceptance of Jesus Christ. Let the record show that I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'll give you a little test real quick. And think of how I'm going to do this. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible said that the praise of God be fitted in your lips, something like that. What if I was to say, not timidly, but very boldly and very hard, something that glorified Jesus Christ? What if I was to say, glory to the Lord God Almighty, holy and pure is his name. What if I was to brag on him as loud and boisterous as I can? What if I was to be sitting in church like this and somebody would say something good about Jesus Christ and I'd just sitting back there and I'd say, praise the Lord, he is good. That's right, brother. That's overstating it, but I'm controlling myself to make myself stand up and back up that which is right. These days, brother, it's hard-pressed to find people amen anymore. And I know they love God just as much as I do, but they're having a rough time controlling their spirit. Brother, when God says the truth and when it rings home in your heart, don't be worried about it. Just let her go, brother. It enforces what the preacher said. It enforces what the Bible said. Somebody else agrees. Amen. We're on board with it. Listen, if God ever pinches you real good, just go ahead and shout her out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't be so shy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We carry around this old fleshy man. He don't want to do, you know, he don't like to pray. He don't like to read the Bible. He don't like to go to church. He don't like to do anything spiritual. He's just an old flesh bag. Why am I going to let him run me all the time? I'm going to let him run me. If God speaks to my heart and it wells up in me, control myself and I'll be decent. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to be the one everybody looks to when I get. I'm saying about shouting out aloud, you know, and I, you know, what I did in my church, so I said, When I count to three, and I don't like it because now I'm forcing you to do it. I'd rather you do it of your own free will. But just to make a point out of it, I want, when I count to three, everybody say, praise the Lord, just as loud as you can. And about half of them did it. And I see that thing, there's a wall. You just hit that wall like you can't say it. Why can't you say it? And I know why. The fleshy man is stronger than the spiritual man. That's why. You're not eating good. You're eating good here this way. You could tell I'm eating good. But are you eating good the Bible? You're feasting on that. And if you feed your spiritual man, he doesn't have a problem shouting out. And reading he has a problem is because you feed the fleshy man, but you don't feed very much the spiritual man. You're having a rough time with it. But the Bible says, talk about controlling your spirit. You got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you.
Amen.
When you got saved, he came in to dwell with you eternally. And he's there. And your manly spirit, your human spirit, connects with him really well. It says in the book of Romans, it talks about I have not seen, ear hath not heard the things of God, and them to prepare to love him, all that stuff. And then it goes on, but we can know by the spirit that's in you.
Amen.
And that spirit, it communicates with God's spirit very well. Amen. So if you have control over your spirit for a right thing, then you shouldn't have any problem praising the Lord. And the Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. And then we look at verse 7, I think it is. And we read verse 7. But it has to do with being weak. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace was in Christ Jesus, and grace is the ability to put up with flaws. To be able, this brother yells at me and it gives me a rough time. My grace will say, God's been gracious to me. I'll just think, well, he's just a young man. Maybe he don't know any better yet. Yeah. I let it go. He ain't gonna hurt me anyway. I can beat him up maybe. No, too. But there's a lot of people in here need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace means that we put up with each other.
Amen.
You are not flesh and blood family. You're a spiritual family.
Right.
You are my brothers and sisters, and I don't even know you very well, but we are born of the same God.
Right.
We are God's sons and daughters, and we are all family, spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm to love you like I love my family. In fact, I should love you even more. You know what Jesus Christ said one time? He's in a big old room full of people teaching him, and somebody came up and weeded themselves through the crowd, and they said, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he says, take a look around. You see these people out here? These are my mothers and brothers because they sit to hear the word of God. He counted his spiritual family more important than his physical family. That wouldn't go over too good in the Catholic Church. Because they like that Mary, you know. I like Mary too. I think she's great. I would say she's highly, highly, what would he say? Yeah. So she's a good girl. But Catholic Church makes her a little too high. But don't be weak. And it says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are to grow in grace, then you got to put up with people that make you mad. Or make mistakes. Let me ask you here. Anybody ever not make any mistakes? Nobody. Okay, so you can't really find. You got to understand somebody when they make mistakes, don't you? You know, somebody says, well, you know, I do it just right. I said, that's okay. I allow for human error. It's all right. If you offended me, what have you really offended? Just me. Who am I? Nobody knows who I am. Right? I mean, you guys do, but as far as the world goes, they don't know but who have you really offended if you offended me? You haven't offended me. Who have I really offended if I offend you? Are you really that important that you cannot be offended? Shame on you. You look in the mirror and just say, hey, you ain't nobody. Don't worry. If somebody gets on you, just say, hey, I got it coming. Amen. I got it coming. I've done enough wrong to deserve that. Just let it go, man. Let it go. There's all kinds of just, you know, sometimes you just say, well, let's just give them time. I'll pray for them and just give them time to grow a little bit. Some people just need to mature a little bit in this faith. I remember when I came into church, I was 21 years old, had hair down the middle of my back, long-haired, hippie-looking guy. And you know how those people did when I came in there? I remember, this is a true story. I came forward, I was 21 years old in August 1971. I come down to this little Nazarene church. Didn't even believe in eternal security. I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ there, and a guy invited to come to the altar and pray and ask the Lord, get saved. And I come down there, and he says, what you coming for? Other people were coming. He said, what you coming forward for? And I said, well, you said if I wanted Jesus Christ, that I should come forward. And he says, oh, good. Let me show you. And he opened the Bible in Romans chapter 10, and we knelt down there at the altar, and he showed me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, do you believe these things? He said, if you don't believe it, you just need to go back to your seat. And I said, no, I believe that. And he said, what about that? I said, well, that's a tough one. And about the resurrection, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, you believe that God rose from the dead? I said, I don't know. Can that be? He says, well, God said he did.
Amen.
I said, well, if God said he did, then he did. He says, well, okay, you believe it then. I said, I do. He says, all right, I tell you what we do. Why don't you bow right here and accept the Lord Jesus Christ? So I'm there praying, and all of a sudden, true story, all of a sudden I feel these hands on my back. I can feel three or four of them on my back. And I'm kind of unnerved. I've never been in church before. And I'm unnerved by it. I'm going, oh, man, is that Tom Johnson? I just now recognize you. That's good to see you again, brother. I didn't know you'd be here. Man, that's a blessing. Amen, amen. So I feel all these hands on my back, and I get saved, you know, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I get up, and I turn around, and here's half the church had come forward and got behind me, and some of them were crying over me, because I was getting saved.
Amen.
Man, you talk about grace, brother. You look at this kid, man, this kid looks like the world just beat him up, man, but we're taking him in. That's grace. The Bible says to grow in grace. Some of you need to grow in grace. Some of you, you got not near enough grace. You gotta be able to put up with some stuff. Just like Jesus Christ put up some stuff with you.
Amen.
And how many times, almost daily, some of the junk he's put up with you, and he overlooks it because you're his child.
Amen.
He overlooks it because you trusted in his son.
Amen.
And not only does he overlook it, but he'll even go as far as to use you in spite of yourself.
Amen.
What a gracious God. And some of you need to grow a little bit in that grace.
Amen.
Be strong, not weak, but be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I remember Paul was said to him one time, he said, pray for me that I may have boldness. Because when he got out there to Ephesus, and he went over to Derbe, and went over to Lystra, and all them cities up in Asia Minor, he got in there, and he's going to go out there and preach to them people, and he said, I don't want it to be timid. I don't want to go out there and say, no, you know the Lord Jesus. No, he says, I need to blare it out. Amen. I need to let them know, amen, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all men are as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Boy, when he got out there in the street, it was no timid thing. It was bold. It was forceful. And when they heard it, it pricked their hearts. When they got up in Acts and they were preaching there in Acts, it says, the Bible said it pricked their hearts, and they said, what shall we do in view of the fact that we crucified him? What shall we do now? Amen. That word of God was powerful.
Amen.
And because those men had boldness, you get something powerful like the word of God, it takes a nice powerful voice to put it out. And the spirit that will drive you will make it even more forceful. So don't be timid. Be bold. Don't be weak. And then real quickly, don't be forgetful. Chapter 2:14, of these things, put them in remembrance. So you don't want them to forget. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And he talked about remembering some things. Don't forget where you were when you got saved.
Amen.
Don't forget what you were.
Amen.
when you got saved. You know, I was reading about, Amaziah? I think it was Ahaziah, one of them Amaziah guys. And it said his daddy did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And then it mentioned mama's name. And then when he got to reign, he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And I said, man, his mom and daddy must have influenced him well because he took off and did something for God. And he served the Lord, said he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And I thought, man, look at there. And the Bible talked about how he built towers and he built cities and he was very productive man. And many, many years went by like that. And he just done great things, all of it in the fear of the Lord. And then his heart got lifted up in pride. And God's blessing came on him so much so that he also got kind of thinking that maybe he was just a good enough guy to make all this happen. He kind of forgot that it's God that made all this happen. Amen. What you? God's blessing came on you because your desire was good. Amen. God's blessing came on because your faith was good. Amen. You trusted him. And when God sees faith and sees desire in someone, he moves in. He moves in. He starts being a blessing to you. And you start getting all them blessings. After a while, you think, well, I must be a pretty good guy. Look at all I've done. Remember, who was it? Nebuchadnezzar? That he went out on his porch one day. You know what he said? He went out on his porch one day, and he said, oh, look at this great kingdom which I have built. Amen. That dirty rascal took credit for something God helped him do. Amen. And you'll get like that sometime.
That's right.
You get to thinking you're a pretty good guy. Some of you dressed real nice. Some of you have been blessed quite a bit. God did that for you. Never forget where you were. You say, well, I'm pretty sensible. I know how to do. Yeah, well, how were you before you found Jesus Christ?
Right.
Now you can see what you're able to do. I remember what I was like when I didn't know Jesus Christ. I was on drugs. I don't even want to tell you. I wouldn't want to say it in mixed company. What my life was like without Jesus Christ. Every good thing in me I owe to him. All the bad stuff, I'll take credit for that.
Amen.
Amen. But never forget what pit God dug you out of. Because
right.
He dug you out of one for sure. But don't forget those things. Remember what God's done for you. Let me say this real quick. You know where you sit right now? You sit in a King James Bible-believing church.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you know the impact of that, but that's a big deal. You know how many people don't have a King James Bible believing church? You know how many people are weak in their knowledge of the Bible because of it? You know how many people falter and backslid very easy because of it? And here we sit. And it makes you wonder, I wonder how you got here. How did you find this place? What did God do in your life to aim you at this place, and then you landed here? Boy, what a blessing, brother. What a blessing. What a thing that God has done. And it's good to think about all the things that God has done for us.
Amen.
He's done a lot of stuff for you and I, and I'm glad about it. The next thing is found in verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And this one most of you know by heart, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's that not ashamed again. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to say about that, don't be ignorant.
Amen.
Don't be ignorant. And when I say ignorant, and when the Bible says ignorant, it's talking about ignorant of the Bible. Amen. Ignorant of God's word. You should know the gospel and know it really well. Amen. I suppose everybody probably does. There might be a few jacklegs in here that don't. But I think you ought to get a gospel tract and study it and get it down really well.
Amen.
Just, I mean, as simplistic as it is, and you got saved, so you're already familiar with it. You already know it a little bit. Get a gospel tract out. Go through all the verses. Get the gospel down really, really good to where you got it fixed in your mind. If they threw the Bible away or if they took the Bible away from you, you'd still have it.
Amen.
And if you want to look at it real plain and real clean, just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read the first 5 verses. And it'll tell you the gospel. And you go over that thing and you remember 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 5. Or 1 through 8 I think is a better picture. You get the whole thing, how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. And you get that gospel down really good. I remember one time Mormons came to my door, and they were trying to tell me about their church and wanted me to come along and be one of them and all that stuff. And I said, what are you guys coming out here to do? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you're here at my door. What do you want out of me? Well, we want you to see what our doctrine is here. And I says, well, shouldn't you be telling me the gospel? And they said, oh, yeah, we're here to tell you the gospel. I said, what is the gospel? And they said, well, it's the good news. I said, yeah, I know it's good news, but what is it actually? I mean, what is it? And the other guy looked at the other guy, and he says, well, tell him what it is. And he says, and he hem-hawed around. Them birds didn't know the gospel.
Amen.
And I thought, you dirty rascal, you're out here knocking on all these people's doors. You got nothing to offer them.
Amen.
If you don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't even get to first base, brother.
Amen.
Don't let it be said about you. How many times you read in the Bible, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Amen. Don't be ignorant then. Don't be ignorant. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Amen. Know your Bible. One thing I love about King James Bible-believing people, they know their Bible. And they make a big deal out of it. And they make a big deal out of every word. And they make a big deal out of the commas and the periods and the exclamation. They make a big deal out of everything in the Bible. Because it matters to them. It's because what God said, and it's the way He said it, and the words He chose to use, how many weird ways He says it, doesn't even matter. I just believe it because God said so.
Amen.
Amen. And I can remember one time I was reading that thing about Jesus rose from the dead, and I said, I don't know about that. Before I got instructed by the pastor, I said, I don't know about that. And I don't think anybody could raise from the dead. And that Bible said He rose from the dead, but I don't think anybody can raise from that. That's too hard for me. And so the preacher says, God said He rose from the dead. What do you say? And I say, He didn't. He said, okay, so you said He didn't. God said He didn't. Well, who's right? I said, well, we know God's right. And he says, you got it. That's right. And from then on, it's settled, brother. I read about a jackass talking. I don't question it. Oh, jackass can't talk. God said He did.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord. You said He did? He did. He could recite a whole dictionary if He wanted to, if you said He did. Listen, if God took an axe head and made it swim, come on now. An axe head's made of iron, swimming. Nah. God said He did. Okay. So the Bible is settled once you just realize what you got.
Amen.
You got the written, infallible word of the living God.
Amen.
And it's perfect and powerful, and it can never be shaken.
Amen.
It'll last forever, brother. Heaven and earth pass away, but my word not pass away. And so don't be ignorant. There are too many ignorant Christians these days. And the world that's around us and the lost people around us needs us to be educated in the Bible.
Amen.
We need to know the doctrines of our Bible. We need to know about eternal security. We need to know about the virgin birth. We need to know the gospel. We need to know the doctrines of our Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to know why we don't need a priest.
Amen.
Amen. Know your Bible, brother. You know how much help Jesus Christ could get from you if you knew your Bible? Get a lot of help. And He wouldn't get much from you if you didn't. Amen. Amen. And the last thing I want to tell you today is don't be puffed up. And you get puffed up, and when you get proud, you're no good for anything. Now, I'll give you this and I'll close. I was reading one time about the devil. And his name was Lucifer. And he's up there in heaven, and he was the best cherubim that God had. I mean, he was the top cherubim that God had. And God had given him everything necessary to be the best cherubim. He wasn't lacking anything to be the good cherubim that he was. Amen. In fact, God went a little bit further than that, and He said this. He said, I let you walk on the stones of fire. As if I didn't do that with other cherubims, but I did it with you. I let you walk upon the stones of fire. And He said this. He said, I let you walk on the mountain of God. As if I didn't let the other ones, but I let you. And for some crazy reason, he was not content with the position that God put him in. God had parameters for him as a cherubim, and he wasn't supposed to go beyond those parameters. You're a good cherubim. You got everything you need to be a good cherubim. Why do you want my throne? What's wrong with you, sir? What has crept into you to make you want to go beyond the parameters that I set you up for? And because you want to be like me, because you want to exalt your throne above the stars of God, because you want to be in the mount of the congregation, because you want to, I will, because you want to take my throne, he says, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God because you went out of parameters. Children, your children, don't go out of your parameters. It's not your room. You're borrowing it. If mom and dad invade, hey, that's their business. It's their room. They paid for it. Amen. Don't go beyond the parameters of a child. Enjoy a child. Bounce the ball. Play games. Have a good time. Be a child. Wives, don't go beyond the border of being a wife. You're to be submissive to your husband. Don't start going equal with the crowd out there. Washington's horrible about this woke stuff and all this weird stuff. California's pretty bad. I got no room to talk. We're horrible. I know we are. But my goodness, just you men, you're in parameters as a man of God or a husband. Stay in those parameters. You get out of there, you're perverse. You get perverse. Don't get puffed up. Amaziah got puffed up, and when he got puffed up, everything went south. Everything went south. It went great for the first 17 years. And all of a sudden, he started thinking that he got something on the ball, and he stopped trusting in God. I remember one time, David, David's out there, King David, and he's out there, and he decides to number the people. And the Bible said that Satan tempted him to number the people. Isn't that something? That Satan tempted him to number the people, and he takes the temptation. He doesn't say, get away from me, get behind me. You know, he takes the temptation, and he tells Joab, go out and number the people. And Joab tells him, this is wrong. Don't do it. And he says, just number the people. I'm your king, all right? Yeah. Well, then go number the people. And he goes in to number people. And so David has put his confidence in his army instead of God. And Joab said, God can save by many or few. What does it matter if we number the people? Don't do this thing. David says, just go number them. And what God did is he made the Israelite army his God. Instead of saying, don't worry about how many armies I got. If we go to war, God will take care of us. That's what God wanted him to have. He wanted to have that confidence and faith in him. But for some reason, when that temptation came, he took it. And when he took it, he went down. And the Bible said the angel came out and started slaying, and he killed 70,000 people. 70,000 people. And God says, well, he says, that's enough. He says, and David's whining about it. He says, what have these sheep did? I'm the one that's the bad guy. And he says, go up to Mount Moriah. He goes, said, go to Ornan the Jebusite. That who it was? You know what a Jebusite is, right? So you should know your Bible. A Jebusite is from Jebus, the town of Jebus. You know what Jebus is? It's Jerusalem. You know what Ornan the threshing floor was? It's Mount Moriah. You know what happened on Mount Moriah? Abraham offered his son on Mount Moriah. You know what happened on Mount Moriah? David bought the threshing floor from Ornan the Jebusite and took the oxen and all the wood from the threshing instruments and made an offering to God right there on Mount Moriah. Amen. Abraham put his son on Mount Moriah. Amen. And it was a mountain out in the desert. Nobody knew nothing about it. It didn't look like nothing. Just an old hill, just an old dirty hill. And he had put you a boy up there and sacrifice your boy. And he went to kill him. And God said, withhold thy hand. He put a ram in there who's got horns and wrapped in the thicket. And you can see the horns being a king and the thicket being the curse and the wood. And it's all there about Jesus. Amen. Way back before David ever became king, somebody's being sacrificed on Mount Moriah. And then when the angel killed all them Israelites, and the killing was going to stop when he offers a lamb on Ornan the Jebusite's threshing floor, and that's Mount Moriah. And then years later, here comes Jesus Christ, and they march him right up to Mount Moriah, and they raise a cross up there and they crucify him on Mount Moriah, the same exact place. Ain't that something, brother? That's something. That's something. I don't know how I get into all that, talking about being puffed up. But the Bible said this. Now, I'll close here just as a reminder. Here's what we looked at. I find my chicken scratch here. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Control your spirit. Fear comes, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be weak. Don't be forgetful. Don't be ignorant. And don't get puffed up.
Amen.
If you control your spirit, man, you make a big splash for Jesus Christ with your life.
Amen.
Amen. And take it slow, brother. Take it slow. Don't run too fast. You run too fast, you trip real easy. Just take it slow. You say, well, there's a lot right there. Well, just take one or two of them then and work on them real good. I remember when I first got saved, I was just a liar, and I used my mouth to lie, and I used my mouth to cuss. And I don't guess it was a month of going to church, first time in my life ever go to church. I go to church for the first month, and within that month, I told God, I went to the altar several times, and one of those times I went to God, and I said, God, I'm going to stop cussing. I did pretty good for quite a while. Every once in a while, one would slip, you know, but I just trying to break a bad habit. And I never used my mouth like that no more after that. And God's the one that made me, God's the one that gave me good instruction. Don't use your mouth for that stuff. And God spoke to my heart about lying. He says, you lie too much. You need to stop lying. I said, all right, Lord, I'll do my best to tell the truth. I still struggle with that one. Because it's not an outright lie when you exaggerate. It's still deceitful if you exaggerate. So I still got work to do. But it's good to get some good habits. And just don't get going too quick, too fast. Take one or two of those things. Take don't be ashamed. And say, well, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ no more. Someone says something about Jesus Christ, I'm going to stand right up and I'm going to tell him how I feel about him. I'm going to tell him how good he is. And I'm going to put him in the best, I'm going to use the best words I can use when I talk about him.
Amen.
See if I can make somebody think he's good.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, you might not win him. Oh, I will plant a seed then.
Amen.
You get credit for that too. Amen. All right, Lord God, help us. I pray, God, that we might control our spirit. We get opportunity to stand for you or to speak for you or to be humble or to be a good witness for you or to be a good testimony for you. God, I pray we not be so timid about it, not be so scared, and not worry about persecution or worry about what somebody might say. And God, help us to be strong in the grace that you give us, Lord. You give us grace, and God, you put up with us and all the faults that we have. God, help us to be like you. Help us to put up with the faults. And God, I pray, God, that your word have free course in our service tonight. And Lord, that you put your strength on it and that these people would desire such things. And I pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.